WCL and for ZLK.
For ZLK, WW4JET.
For JET and for ZLK. Good evening, Matt. Matthew, how are you? I haven't heard you in a couple weeks.
I just heard you out there. I'm on a handheld up in Asheville, actually. Overnight here at work, actually, for the night. And I just threw this in to see if I could hear anybody on it or hear their machine, and it's surprisingly, it's not full quieting, but I'm surprised I'm getting to you on a handheld.
Hey, that's really good from Asheville on a handheld. I've heard a lot worse signals closer in, so did you have to fly in all this windy weather?
Generally, it was rough coming down in here, but it wasn't too bad down ground level, but it certainly picked up quite a bit. And it wasn't even pleasant walking around downtown, let me tell you. I wanted to plan to walk around a little bit and get some, you know, some steps in and get some lunch, but it was quite the wind chill.
Pretty quick with the wind blowing. I'm sure it's cold up there. It's low 50s here now. I'm down here a little south of Greenville. And we had a big tree got blown over, blocked a road. I was trying to get back to our building. Fortunately, I was pulling a shorter trailer. I was able to turn around in the road. If I'd have been pulling a long box, I'd have been stuck. So, but I'm hoping no trees are falling where we live, because I'd hate to lose power.
I agree with you. I think it's gusting to 40 up here, but I don't think it's, I don't know. It said it wasn't going to be as strong down there, but you know how that goes.
Official record, but some of those gusts were pretty strong today. It wouldn't surprise me if they were close to 40. But anyway, it's good to hear you. John usually comes up on Thursdays, and I think I missed him, though. He said he'd start calling me. I think it was around 6, and then we had the time change, and I didn't realize it was as late as it was. I may have missed him if he tried to call me. I hope he's already there at his house.
Yeah, you're right. He usually does get up on Thursdays, and he'd probably be close to being there by now, give or take, I'm sure.
Already there, tucked in for the night. Anyway, so you saying you flew from Atlanta up there, or were you somewhere else, flew into Asheville?
I came in from New York down here, from LaGuardia. Yeah, it's already down to 41. When I landed here, it was probably 56. 58, I think it was.
Imagine it'll be cold tonight up there. It's supposed to be around 34, 35 degrees tonight down here. And you're a little bit in elevation, about 1,000 feet or so higher up, so it'd probably be a little bit cooler than that up there.
That means probably be dealing with some de-icing in the morning. Oh, yay. And I think I'm looking out the window here, and I'm looking at the hillside, and I do believe I'm seeing snow showers. So, oh well. But winter was over.
That's pretty cool. Are you staying downtown Asheville, or are you near the airport?
Downtown. Pretty much in the main area downtown.
Yeah, in the Grove Park Inn, didn't they? That's what they do for you.
I'm just happy it's not the Days Inn or the Quality Inn. No, not the Grove Park, but not bad. I'll take where we're at.
We like to drive up there and walk around. We've never stayed there yet. We've talked about it, but maybe we'll do that. Maybe that can be something we can plan in our retirement years.
Yeah, and there's some good restaurants over there, I think, too, if I recall. But I have not been there or stayed there. But like you said, yeah, maybe it's something to try down the line.
Good restaurants. It's a nice place you can just walk around, and they've got a lot of pictures, old photographs from all the people through the years that have stayed there, all the famous people, and it's just a neat property to walk around. They've got a nice spa there. I think my wife has actually been there to the spa, or I know we've got some friends that have done it, some ladies that have done that. I'm not sure. I guess I'd do it with her if she wanted me to do the spa thing. It might be a one-time experience.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, yeah, my wife's been over to Biltmore a few times too, and I enjoyed going over there. And when I saw that property, that was interesting, and the history is pretty incredible. The whole Biltmore thing. Yeah, pretty interesting place up here.
Nice too. We've been there a few times. Got a nice winery, and we've heard music there. We didn't actually go to the concert, but it was out on the veranda there to the southwest side of the house, I guess. The left side of the house as you're facing it. So if you were there, you could hear it. You could hear all the music and look down at the production. But that's a neat property as well. Lots of good stuff up that way.
That I really enjoy Hendersonville as well. Great little town south of here, and it's close. Have you ever been to that Flat Rock Theater at all, by any chance?
And that's another thing we've talked about, and we will do eventually. But no, I've been by it, been through there. But one of my daughters used to live in East Flat Rock, not far from there. She's back down here in the Greenville area, her and her husband. But I know they do a lot of good productions there, though.
Before JET. I have to watch the schedule and see what comes up there. But yeah, my wife and I have been trying to do something like that, too. Heard some good things about it as well. And there's a great, have you been to that Campfire Grill? It's not far from there. I don't know if it's a Flat Rock address or a Hendersonville address, but it's on the way out of Hendersonville to the south. So have you been to that restaurant? It's pretty good.
There used to be a couple of Flat Rock grills here in the Greenville area, one at Cherrydale and one, I think, over off Woodruff Road. I don't know if it's the same thing. They were pretty good at a pretty good steakhouse. I'm not sure if it's more of a chain-type steakhouse like a Longhorn, though, you're talking about.
Negative. It's definitely a mom and pop place, kind of like a bar and grill kind of thing, and it's pretty unique. It's pretty neat. It's certainly worth checking out. And I'm not 100% that's the exact name of it, but it's just in that Flat Rock area, heading back down towards our area.
Well, I haven't tried it. We may have to look that up too. Get a little more time when. Maybe one day when I hang up this job, whenever that will be, should have a little more time. But anyway, really nice to hear you tonight. I'm doing a great job making the repeater on that HT. So I'm glad you're able to have it with you. Do you carry it with you usually when you're traveling?
I do that. I throw it in the bag, and if I get some time, I see what's going on in the local area, and you'd be surprised. There's a lot of areas that are, sadly enough, dead quiet, you know, and then occasionally you find some areas where you get to talk to some people. It's always a good time to talk to some new people and see what's going on in the area.
When I travel, I usually take it, and sometimes it is very quiet in areas, and other times you can find some good nets. I was really disappointed. We went to Alaska, and we stayed in Valdez. My son and daughter-in-law and another daughter were working there at a couple different. One was a tour boat, and one was sea kayaking and glacier hiking. So we stayed there in town, and there was a Radio Shack, actually. It was like a hardware store / Radio Shack, and there was a ham radio antenna tower attached to it. But I never did hear anybody. I tried. I even went into the Radio Shack and tried to see if whoever might be there, but whoever was running the register at the time didn't seem to care. Didn't really give me the time of day about it, so, you know, I didn't want to annoy him. But I was, you know, the Valdez was surrounded by mountains, so I figured if there was nobody in town, that was probably all I was going to be able to do on a HT, but that would have been fun.
Yeah, that's surprising. thought you would have got a little more information on it, but oh well. Yep, that's how it is out there. It's hit or miss. And it's a shame. I don't, you know, I hear two things. I hear the hobby's growing, and then I hear the hobby's dying. You know, it just depends on who you talk to. And I hope it's not dying, but when you see some of these great machines that are up in these areas and absolutely no traffic on them, it makes you think.
Or is that okay? Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, like this area, North Georgia area, there's a large community. But I think it comes and goes, too. You know, you have people move out and people get busy. And, you know, sometimes people take a break. They're not always on the radio. I do that sometimes. I always have one around or listening, but I may not be talking on it for a while. So unless I hear somebody that I, you know, really want to talk to. But I hope it's not dying. We've got to get this younger generation into it. I know Helene opened up the eyes of a lot of people how important having another form of communication is.
Oh, ironically, you mentioned that, and since Helene, there's three new GMRS repeaters up on the My GMRS page up here. And they weren't there, you know, last year. These are all new, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But it's one of them. I got one of them programmed in here, and it's dead quiet. So, but it'll pick up, I'm sure. But that's a good thing that somebody saw that, you know, and has the ability to put up a machine that gets some pretty good range.
I need to get into or check into GMRS. I have no experience with it. I've heard, you know, you and Patrick and other people talking about it. I've read a little bit, but I don't even know when it came about. I know the FRS and GMRS, but I've been in ham radio so long. I was 20 years old, I think, when I got my license. That's been 35 years ago now, 34 years ago. So basically, this is what all the experience I have is ham radio. But I guess it's come a long way, just like anything.
KI4LZ.
It's come a long way. There's no doubt about it. Well, as you know, Shane, it's just a quick license, and the beauty of it, of course, is that your family can use it all, and that's where the backup communication plan really comes together, if you ask me. So I think that in itself is a good reason. And we got Andy chiming in, so I'll back off and let Andy get in there. And good talking to you, Shane. I'll be listening. You have a good evening, and be careful on the road too. N4ZLK. It's WW4JET. Good talking to you.
I hear you. And go ahead, Andy. KI4LZI, N4ZLK.
The big thing about the GMRS is when they reduced the price of it. It used to be, I think I heard Mandel or someone say, around $80 or $90 for a license. Well, when we here in the amateur service had to start paying that $35, well, they dropped the GMRS price down to that $35 as well. And as Matthew would tell you, the GMRS side is exploding with activity there is on GMRS. The only thing you got to keep in mind about, like where I'm at here, that's UHF radio. And if you, like here where I'm at, you happen to be in the hole, around the hole, and you're down in the bottom of it, you let the leaves get wet and the winds start blowing in the summertime, you're going to have a lot of swaying back and forth, back and forth, back and forth on UHF. And because of that, it helps to be in a real, real good location for UHF. I know many years ago, WR4HM, all he had back at that time, when I first got my license, was just 440. 2,400 up on Caesar's Head. Now, this was back, like I said, not long after I got my license. This same antenna I've got here, there was times I had people, now, you know, I can't hear myself, but I've had other people tell me that they could tell that the wind was blowing because my signal was in and out and in and out and in and out. And I don't have the power output on the UHF side as I do VHF. So when it comes to UHF, you got to be real, real certain of your location when it comes to topography. It can be good or it can be bad.
Thanks, Andy. I've got a couple of 440 radios, or dual band radios, tri-banders. And I've used it a little bit from my location. I can hit the Pickens repeater and Glassy Mountain and Caesar's Head and things, but don't use it that often, but that does make sense. I guess that's why 2 meters is so popular, because it's so reliable. But Andy, they just banged on my trailer. I got to go back inside and close out the paperwork and close my door, and so I can bring this one in and go home. So I'm going to let you go. Thanks for chiming in here. Good to hear you this evening. You have a good evening, and I will talk to you another time, I'm sure. KI4LZI and 4ZLK, 73 Andy.
I guarantee you, if I lived anywhere else other than this hole I live in, I would get a GMRS license as well. But back in the early days after I got my ticket, Mandel didn't have the 195 or the 70, or all he had was 442-400 up there, and a couple of 220 machines. One of them was on there, and nothing hadn't been on there in years, and Arnett at that time was exclusively on 442-400. And for a few years, I served even as net control, but I had a lot of people tell me about that, and it's critical that you're in a good location. Even though as many repeaters as there is now to what there was, it helps, but location is everything. KI4LZI.
Talk to you later, Andy. N4ZLK.